Psalm chapter 100, very familiar psalm. I usually refer to it every Thanksgiving. It's known as, I label the psalms when I go through them, and I've labeled this one a Thanksgiving psalm. Certainly, you don't have to wait till November to be thankful to the Lord. It says in verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." I want to preach this morning and next Sunday as well, just on a simple thought. God is good. Have you ever noticed how there are certain things in society from time to time they catch on, even among the lost world at large? Several years ago, people started wearing those bracelets that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? Now, most of the people that wore them had no idea what Jesus would do, but it was a fad. I've heard all kinds of people say, God is good. All the time. And I believe that. I've experienced it. And it is real. When you really begin to examine who God is, what He's done, how He deals with people. But it really needs to be, you need to personalize it. Not just as a saying that just people say. Like sometimes people all the time say when they're ending a phone call, "I love you, love you," and I'm sure they do. Sometimes it's an inside joke with me and Josh. Him and Gavin will go out and say, "We love you," and I'll just say, "Love, love. Now be on your way. Go in peace," you know. But the point I'm making is we should love one another and we ought to express that. But it should be more than just a saying. And I think I'm glad when people say God is good. And today I'm going to try to give you some insight as to why God is good. And we can learn it from the Bible. It's interesting that this psalm is really one of the greatest expressions of why we ought to be thankful and joyful, why we ought to sing, and it goes all the way back to the motive, for the Lord is good. God is good. It's one of the motives for joy in verse 1. Service and singing, verse 2. Thanksgiving and praise, verse 4. All because God is good. Now, if every one of us were to take an honest inventory in our lives, we would find that the goodness of God has really permeated every aspect of our lives. God's goodness has been so consistent and abundant that I fear a lot of times we take it for granted. We don't recognize it like we should. We often fail to recognize the goodness of God on a day-to-day basis. And as I studied for this message, it reminded me how many times a day If I just will focus and meditate and think how much every day I experience some aspect of the goodness of God that He's showering out upon my life, His grace, His mercy, His love, His power, His sustaining grace, all of it. And I can say every day, God is good. If only we could just see a small part of God's goodness and recognize that it would be sufficient to humble our hearts, and I think we'd do less complaining. And we'd have a greater love for God. Now, I complain. I don't do it to you all. I'm the preacher. I mean, I hardly ever complain to you. I do. I try to come here with a positive attitude. I try to come to the house of God so I can worship in spirit and in truth. And so that my heart, my mind are engaged on the things of God and the greatness of God and the goodness and the majesty of God. But you know, I'm like you. I'm a sinner. I have my days where I find myself when things are going sideways and I find myself, what's this about, Lord? You know, why now? Why? But you know, it's part of who we are. It's part of our human nature to be prone to complaining because we're sinners. But I believe this psalm will help us to counteract that if we're aware of it. Now, today we're just going to look at the makeup of God's goodness. And certainly I can't, this is such an extensive subject matter, I can't plumb the depths of it. So we're going to look at some things and make you realize, just give you an overview of the goodness of God. Well, I thought it was interesting as I studied that the very name of God, which expresses the sum total of His excellent attributes, He is good. Psalm 136:1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." You know, when you think of somebody's name, you think of their personality, what attributes they may possess that you like or dislike. God is good. Everything about Him's good. There's not a thing in the makeup, the attributes of God Almighty that is not good. When you think of someone's name, you consider their features. And when you want to identify God, He is the supreme essence of all that is good. He is goodness personified. And God is uniquely or independently good. Think about this. Jesus said in Matthew 19:17, "There is none good but God." We use that term good a lot of different ways. Almost every day somebody asks you, "How are you doing today?" And you'll say, "Pretty good." And you know, there's always a smart aleck, like maybe Alan, who'll say, "You ain't pretty and you ain't good." And he's got it right. That's true of most people. Except for Terry Childers. God love her. But the fact of the matter is, we use that term a lot. But in reality, we're not good. Especially in comparison to God. And here's the amazing thing. If you have any measure of goodness whatsoever, anything in your life that someone can identify that's good or noble or noteworthy, whether you recognize it or not, The truth is this, that every one of us derive any measure of goodness from God. Because the Bible says, and I believe the Bible, do you? You know what it says in James 1:17? Don't quote it, Al, I'm going to quote it. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Think about that. Universally, throughout every nation, among all people, if there's any measure of goodness, it goes, you trace it all the way back to Almighty God who has showered that upon you in your life. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Now, that means we derive any measure of goodness we have from God. But God derives His goodness from no one. He is originally and independently good. He is good eternally, immutably, infinitely. It's beyond us to really think about. And then by way of contrast, when God is showing us what we really are by nature, because we are fallen, because we are sinners, He makes a very sweeping statement. He inspired Paul to write it in Romans chapter 3 when he said, "There is none good, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none good, no, not one." Think about that. God is intrinsically good, and we are not. And that's why we need Christ. That's why we need the grace of God that is in Jesus Christ. And do you know what happens when you are connected to God through Jesus Christ? He puts in within you a new nature and new desires, a new longing to be more like Jesus. And do you know what the outgrowth of that is? That union, that connection, that relationship with Jesus Christ, you begin to demonstrate good works. That's what God's grace does. When the perfect gift, when you become a partaker of the perfect gift, that's Jesus Christ and His grace. You know what the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The eternal purpose of God is to make the people that come to a knowledge of Christ, to make them good. To make them people who are filled with goodness because they're united to Christ and want to glorify Him. To me, that's one of the most amazing things, that God would communicate His goodness to me and then give me the ability to exercise the grace that He's given me so that I resemble Christ more and more. What a miracle! What a miracle that someone who's so rotten. I mean, you can ask my kids. They've lived with me their whole life. They know that I've been rotten at different times. My dad, if he were here today, he'd stand up and test, "That kid's rotten." But you know what? God changed me. God changed my whole life. And it wasn't just goodness. It was grace upon grace upon grace that changed me so much that now I want to be good. Before I was saved, remember in your parents, "You better be good." Now, if a kid knows a lot of theology like Josh did, he'd say, "Well, Dad, there's none good. What are you expecting out of me? And, you know, a kid that knows a little theology, it could hurt you a little bit as a parent. But the fact of the matter is, God is so powerful that He can change the worst of sinners and make them good. God's goodness is not just unique and independent, but it's eternal and immutable and infinite. Think about something good that you've done, that God has worked in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. And it usually was confined to maybe a time frame where you did something good and you helped someone. You were a blessing to someone and you did it unselfishly. You did it with pure motives, with a desire to glorify God. That can be measured. It started here and it went for a while, but you know God is eternally good. Think about this. It's so difficult for us sometimes to contrast what we really are in comparison to God. There's never been a moment, a second, a day, a year that God has not been good. Before the world began, before anything existed, when God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost sat alone in solitude in the vast nothingness except for the Trinity existence. God is good, eternally, and infinitely good. It stretches way back to eternity past, and it extends all the way through the eternal ages. It will be displayed throughout the eons of time that God is good. And when you're around His throne and you're worshiping Him, you'll be a testament to the fact that God's goodness changed your life in a remarkable, amazing way. And God's goodness never changes. He's not fickle with His demonstrations of goodness. He's good all the time. Now, that's not true of us. We might have some real good spurts of goodness. And I love that. Don't you love it spiritually when you're hitting on all cylinders? And I mean, you got joy and you're with it, man. You're loving the Word of God. You're reading it. You're praying. You're witnessing. You're enjoying every worship service. Can't wait to get there. And trying to be a blessing to other people. But then, maybe there's a Thursday where things ain't so good with you. You didn't have BBB. You didn't have Bible before breakfast. And your day's a little off kilter. But God's never had a bad day. Not one time has there ever been a thought of evil or depravity or deceit or complaining. And God, I can't say that. His goodness is infinite, and it's really beyond our comprehension. In comparison, our goodness has a definite beginning and is often inconsistent. And our displays of goodness only influence a very small portion of the earth's population. It's often confined to the people within our sphere of influence. Our goodness is but a drop, but in God there is an infinite ocean of good. Psalm 52:1, the goodness of God endureth continually. Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. And then, God is exclusively good. Even when you do something really good in the sight of God, you still have an old nature. You still have a sinful nature. And now, just be a little bit honest and transparent here. Because when you do something good, there's a little part of you that says, that was really good, Tom, man. Hey, brother, you hit a home run right there. That part of us is in us. Because we, sad to say, we like the praise of men. God is exclusively good. There's no admixture of evil or sin that emanates from Him. Everything He does is absolutely holy. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Everything that comes from God, His decrees, His creation, His laws, His providence, cannot be anything but good. What did He say after the original creation was completed? Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. God is full of goodness. Now, God's goodness is also universal in the sense that it extends to all of creation. It's not confined just to saved people. God's goodness extends to lost people. I'm going to spend a great deal of time on that next week. The Bible says this about God's goodness. Psalm 33:5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You know what aggravates man's sin? When they don't recognize just how good God has been. And men do it every day. They spurn His goodness. Psalm 119 and verse 68, Thou art good and doest good, teach me Thy statutes. Psalm 145, 9, The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. I know you don't want to admit this, but there are people you don't like. It's true. And I hope I'm not one of them. That's a hard thing to have to come to church and listen to somebody you don't like. All right? That's a tough thing. Now, I don't think you should come to church for the preacher. Oh, I've never believed that. You ought to come because this is the Lord's church and you ought to love Him. But I'd have to say it'd be pretty tough to come and have to look at somebody that you detest and don't like every week. And then have to listen three or four times a week. But the reality is, you're not good to everybody. Now, I know the self-righteous part of you wants to say, well, you don't know me. I know you pretty well. You're a lot like me. And the people that you don't like, you're going to have you got to crucify that and try to even go beyond and try to treat them right. I've only had a few people in my life that I didn't like, and I'm not going to name them. But it's safe to say it's none of you. But God, His goodness extends to everybody, even though they don't deserve it, and not rendered any thanks to Him, He's still good. So today, I just want to give you an overview of the makeup of God's goodness. And next week, we're going to look at the manifestations of God's goodness in a more detailed way. Most of all, I hope you know Jesus. Without Him, you'll perish in your sins. Trust Christ. Let's all stand.
Page 29.